What a joy to be with you today. I hope that you have had a good week, a good week of Thanksgiving. Our family was together at my dad's, most of our family, and had a great time. A special day for me, always Thanksgiving, and enjoy being there so much. I feel so thankful today. I just feel like I have so much to be grateful for, and there are just so many things of the blessings of God that I sense and I feel, and I hope you feel that way too. I hope that you sense God's presence and God's goodness. There's a verse that comes to my mind. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. I feel like I've been given so much, and I have so much to be thankful for today. I know it's not so much on my throat as it is in my heart. And you know, praise begins down here. And I'm thankful for that. I really want to speak to you today about three things. The first two we kind of have already done. We've had a week of Thanksgiving, and this morning just to acknowledge what a privilege it is to be thankful, and what a blessing it is that God gives us to have a thankful heart. You know, a thankful heart just blesses us in so many ways. When you have a thankful heart, it just changes your outlook on life. It helps you to deal with things that are painful and difficult. When you have a heart of thanksgiving to God, it really does change how you look at life, how you look at people, how you look at your circumstances. And thankfulness is something not to be taken for granted. It is so important in your life and your heart that you exercise that ongoing mindset, if you want to call it that, or that ongoing worldview, if you want to call it that, of having a thankful heart to God. Truly, every one of us has so much to be thankful for today. I hope you feel that in your heart and you sense that. I hope that you don't take being thankful for granted. Excuse me. It really is a great privilege to be thankful to God and to have a thankful spirit. I hope that that's a part of who you are. I might say I'm shouting for joy on the outside, although I'm not shouting for joy. I mean, I'm shouting for joy on the inside, but not on the outside. I know I need to keep my voice down this morning if I'm going to make it to the end of my notes. I was going to start the service with shout to the Lord and say it as loud as I could, but I realized I better not do that. I'll go a different direction. But not only is Thanksgiving important to us, being thankful, but also praise is also a great privilege of every Christian. And we've done that this morning as we've sung together. A thankful heart is a great privilege, and no one can be thankful for you, and neither can anyone be thankful or praise God for you. We all have that individual opportunity, that individual responsibility to praise God, and there's great power in praise. God is glorified, and God is pleased when we praise Him from the heart. When we have within our hearts a sense of thanksgiving, and it comes out, whether it comes out when we sing, or it comes out when we talk to our neighbor, or it comes out when we're talking to a family member, wherever we're at, if you have praise in your heart for God, it will come out somewhere. It will come out in the way that you live. It will come out in the way that you deal with people. It'll come out in the way that you deal with life. If you have thankfulness in your heart, it will be evident in your life. You can't have thankfulness on the inside and it not come out, because it's the natural thing for thankfulness to do. It's like combining the vinegar and the baking soda. You know what happens when you do that? Kaboom. You know, it comes out. And that's really the way it is about Thanksgiving. When you are thankful in your heart to God, it will show. It'll probably show on your face. It'll definitely show in your relationships, because you will be drawn to the goodness of God and you'll express that and show that. And that's a very important part. This morning, I want to invite you to a responsive reading. Would you stand with me and sing with me, or not sing with me, although you could sing it if you want to, but would you read with me responsively Psalm 100? I'll read the parts that are not underlined and invite you to read the parts that are underlined. And again, I want to invite you today to worship from your heart today as we worship the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before Him with joyful songs. It is He who made us, and we are His. The sheep of His pasture. and his courts with praise. For the Lord is good. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is great power in praise when it's from the heart and genuine. When your heart is looking to praise God, it's a fragrant offering. The scriptures give us countless descriptions of how pleasing it is to God when we praise Him. May we ever praise Him. I want to speak to you about a third word this morning. I believe that thankfulness and praise go together. And there's another word, and there's another element of who we are that are very important. And the three of these come together, thanksgiving and praise. And the word is generosity. I want to talk to you this morning about the blessings of being generous and how important it is for you if you're a Christian. If you believe and you want your life to be connected to God, how important it is that your character and your personality and the way that you live life is characterized by a generous spirit. There's a lot of things, a lot of places in the Bible that remind us of how important a generous spirit is. Closely related to a thankful spirit and closely related to a spirit of praise is a spirit of generosity. Simply this morning, I'd like to speak to you about the importance and the blessings of a generous spirit. If you have your Bible and you want to read along, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says about the importance of a generous spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. These are words of the Apostle Paul as he is writing a letter to a particular church, the church that was in Corinth. Corinth was a church, apparently, in the early church period that had a lot of problems. And Paul writes to them about some very serious issues in the church. But also there were some good things about the church, and there were some positive things about the church. And this chapter, and particularly the words that I read, and some other places in Corinthians, Paul seems to be addressing one of the positive things about this church, and that is that God had blessed this church with material things. God had blessed the people financially, and they had resources. And they were willing to give them to help other people. And so Paul writes a letter of encouragement to them, of reminder of them, and to say to them how important it is that Christians have a generous spirit. I would say in some ways, the church at Corinth may be something like our church. At least I see our church as being very blessed. I see that God has blessed our church people in a lot of ways. Not that everybody has maybe a lot, and not that there aren't needs that exist in our church family, but when I think about the churches that I've been in and been a part of, and I'm involved in other churches on our district, and I just say to you that I've always believed that God has blessed this church very much, and we have a lot to be thankful for, and that gives us a great responsibility. And when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe that the words apply very much to us. I know it applies to me. It applies to my life. God's been so good to me, and I'm thankful for that and want to be a good steward of what God has allowed in my life. Paul was reminding the church at Corinth of how important generosity was to their faith, how important generosity was to their Christianity. You know, without the element of generosity, Christianity can seem extremely self-centered. It can seem extremely self-absorbed, if you will. And Paul reminds the church of how important it is to be generous. Verse 1 says, remember this. Paul's saying to them that hold on to this. Make this a part of your vocabulary as a Christian. Make this a part of your view of God and your view of life and your view of what you have. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Paul is describing an unseen principle about generosity. He's describing an unseen spiritual truth that is at work. It might not be something that you see and you can put your finger on, but Paul is describing a spiritual truth underneath the surface where God is saying that when you have a generous heart, when you have a heart to give, God will bless that. God will use that. God will bless you, and God will bless other people. There is this spiritual truth that's at work. The more you give from your heart, the more God blesses you. The more giving you are as a person, the more that you give of yourself to bless other people, the more that you give in order to not to receive thanks or praise, the more that's in your heart to help other people, the more blessed you'll be. And God sees that, and God uses that. That is true about a number of things in your life. It's certainly true about your time. When you see your time as being a potential to be used to help other people, and that's what's in your heart, God blesses you for that. God blesses what you do. God blesses the results. God blesses your life when you have a heart of giving for other people. About financial giving, if God lays it on your heart to meet a need out there and you do it, God blesses you. I'm not telling you that God's going to make you a millionaire if you give money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God absolutely, underneath the surface, spiritually, does something inside of you that is far more valuable than the money in your purse or your wallet. The truth is, when you have a giving heart and you give according to what God has allowed you to give, and it comes from your heart, God uses that and blesses that in a special way. Giving people are blessed by God. It's true about our time. It's true about our words. It's true about our treasures. It's true about our talents. Giving people are blessed by God. Giving people are used by God to help other people. God uses His church. Our speaker last Sunday morning touched on this in one of the scriptures that he read. He said, it's God working in you that is a light to the world. It's God working through your hands and through your generosity that is a blessing to other people. It's an attitude about everything that we have that God wants for every Christian. I mean, God has wanted that for His people from the beginning of the Old Testament, and all through the Old Testament are scriptures after scriptures about, about the importance of generosity, about caring about people that are hurting, about knowing that people that are struggling, those are the people that we're to reach out to and we're to care about, and we're going to do everything that we can. You see, if you're a person of generosity, you realize that everything that you have is a gift from God. You see it that way. You see your money. You see your time. You see your abilities as God loaning them to you for a time, and you're a steward of that. And if you're a person of generosity that wants to please God, you understand that you're just going to have things for a time. This life, as long as it is, as short as it is, God gives us things that pass through who we are, and we won't have them forever. At some moment, we'll take our last breath, and we'll move on into eternity. And what we have done, what we have used, God cares about. He cares about that stewardship. We have a great privilege of blessing other people and being people of generosity. I love the expression, paying it forward. I've heard that recently here, and people have found a way to help a stranger. Maybe they never knew where it came from, but just passing it forward, the blessing, and realizing that when you do that, you're blessed for that. When you give and you give of what God allows, and you have the right spirit about it, the right attitude, the right heart attitude, you're a blessed people. Generous people are the most blessed people in the world. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 6. We think about the words of Jesus and all he said. And he said a whole lot about generosity. And in fact, Jesus talked more about material things than any other single subject. And he talked about what it does for us when we have a generous heart. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I mean, Jesus said, as much as you give, whatever you give of yourself, I see that, I bless that. I will help you in that. I will use that in a powerful way. Again, it's an unseen force at work. I can't tie A to B and B to C and what God does, but I know when we have a heart of giving that God blesses. I mean, He changes you. He changes your outlook. He can take a person that has very little joy and just sees the negative things in life. And when they begin to give from the heart and they understand that it belongs to God and they're not any good to hold on to it and hold on tight to it, when they begin to let go and bless other people, they begin to get blessed and they begin to sense the love and the goodness of God in their lives that gives life meaning. Truly, it is better to give than to receive, Jesus said. It is better to be able to give from the heart in a cheerful way than it is to be able to receive. Luke chapter 21 tells a story about Jesus when he came into the temple one day. You probably recognize the story. It was a story that says, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. What did Jesus notice about this offering and this gift? Did Jesus notice the man that came in and he had a whole bag full of coins and he went over and he dropped it in, and I'm sure it made a lot of noise and it looked good and it sounded good and it felt good and the whole place probably rattled a little bit. You know, that was good. But then here's this woman and she has two little tiny coins. I mean tiny coins. That's what this story's about. Tiny coins. She puts them in. What did Jesus say? She's given far more than anyone else. Why? Because she gave from her heart. She gave from her heart. She wanted to give. She wanted to bless. She wanted to respond. She had a heart full of thanksgiving, a heart full of praise. You know, when the offering plate comes by, and you decide, you know, you probably decided before you came to church whether you're going to put a tithe in, you're going to put a gift in for missions or for whatever you do. Every time that plate comes by, you should think of this story and say to God, as part of your worship, God, is this coming from my heart today? Is it coming from a heart of giving? Is it coming from a heart that pleases you? You see, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows what we feel. Regarding generosity, the truth is that God always sees our hearts. He knows what we feel. He knows what we struggle with. He knows what our needs are. He knows if we got a bill coming on the 15th and we don't have enough money. God knows all about our finances. He cares about that. He knows if we feel under pressure. But God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and there's something about trust that's important. Something about trusting God with all that we have and knowing that He already sees. See, if it all belongs to Him, so do the debts. You know, you can look at it that way. So do the pressures. And most of us, not all of you, I'm sure, but most has financial pressures. We have to decide how to spend our money and where and how much and, you know, all those. And there's a lot of scriptural principles to help us to do that. But the truth is, God already knows your story. He knows what you're dealing with, and He cares deeply about your heart. Whether or not you're the one that drops the big bag into the widow that has two mites, He already knows where you are. What He cares about today is your heart. You know, Paul said in another place, if your heart's right, the size of the gift will be right. If your heart's right, the size of the gift will be right. Verse 7 says very directly and clearly, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. What does that tell you about God? What does it tell you about how God looks when we give in the offering plate, or we give to feed the Syrian refugees, or we give to a neighbor who's struggling, or to a family member? What does that tell you about God? God cares deeply about people's needs, and He wants your heart to be right. He wants you to have a heart that desires to give. Also, God will bless your gift. God can multiply your gift, and He does. In the Bible, we have the story of the little boy with the fishes and the loaves and how Jesus multiplied it. The truth is, God can take a gift that you give, and He can make it make a difference in the life of someone that you will never know and never see. You know, when we do the Operation Christmas Child boxes, I kind of love that little program, because I love to think that there's some child somewhere, who knows where, who's going to open a box and get all these little fancy toys and things from somebody around the world that they don't know. I followed my box one year. I went to Sri Lanka, if I'm pronouncing it correct. You know, you can get on and you can see where your box goes. But you know, to be able to bless someone who I'll never meet or talk to, that is a great privilege. And God can use. But you know, it's not just money I'm talking about. And I think you know that today. It's about who you are. It's about how you treat people. It's about a kind spirit. It's about a spirit that takes time when somebody's hurting to stop and talk to them. To mess up your schedule so that you can show somebody that they're important. To say, hey, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. The right thing for me to do is to be with that person and care about that person, and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Is that not what we're called to do as God's people? Are we not to be full of generosity in our spirits, in our attitude, in our love for people? Are we not to be known as people who, more than anybody else in the world, has time for and takes time to help hurting people? God will bless the gift. He can accomplish great things. Verse 13 says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God. That's in verse 13. I didn't read that a little bit ago, but look at that. Paul says, because of the way that you've given your generosity, people are going to praise God, and that's true. When you have a generous spirit and you let go, and you just allow God to use you and use whatever you have, your time, your money, God is able to take that and bless that. I want to mention two men in my life that I grew up with, in the church that I grew up with in Dayton, Ohio. One of the man's name is Mr. Hoover. I've actually, over the years, talked about a couple of sermon illustrations from Mr. Hoover's life. Mr. Hoover is somewhere in his 90s right now. I talked to him two or three years ago, and I finally got a hold of him, and I just wanted to tell him how much I appreciated him and his influence in my life. Mr. Hoover is probably the wealthiest man I've ever known as a child and to this day. He was in our church, and Mr. Hoover was some kind of a radio expert. He had a ham radio. I remember he would call mission stations around the world and relay news for our church, and he was into radios, and he was an inventor, and he made a lot of money. And what I remember about Mr. Hoover was not how wealthy he was, although you could tell that. But what I remember about Mr. Hoover is how kind he was. And he was always helping people. He was always helping people. I saw Mr. Hoover as a man who somehow God had blessed in amazing ways, and he was always helping people. When anybody had a need, he would be there. If anybody else in the church had a problem, and a serious problem and needed help, Mr. Hoover was there. He wasn't there for the fanfare. He was just quietly there, quietly meeting needs as God allowed him to do. That really impressed me about Mr. Hoover. Not just that he did that, but he had such a joyful spirit. You know, if God's blessed you with more than you need, be a Mr. Hoover. Understand how your life can be such a blessing to people. There's another man in the church. I'll say his first name. His name is Richard. And Richard also was a man that impressed me. Richard did not have very much. I don't know that he had any family. I never knew any family that belonged to Richard. He lived in a small house. He worked hard. But Richard was like that too. Every work day he was there at church. Whenever anybody needed help moving, he would be there to help. If a family was in need, Richard would find a way to help them and bless them. And I saw Mr. Hoover and I saw Richard kind of as two men, kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum, but both of them had such a generous spirit to help other people. And I think what a rich heritage that was for me to watch them. Isn't it a blessing to have people like Mr. Hoover and Richard in our lives to see? And I hope that you'll understand and see how important it is for you to be a Richard and to be a Mr. Hoover in your life. There's one more scripture that I want to point out in this text, and it's in verse 9. It says, "He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Paul took time in the midst of this to say that the people had cared deeply about the poor. And that's what gets my attention here. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. Now, the context of this chapter is that the church at Corinth had received an offering and sent it back to Judea where there had been a famine and the Christians were really destitute. I won't take time to talk about the whole context of that, but basically, this church in the Roman Empire, probably 800 miles from Jerusalem, wanted to take up an offering and send it back to help the people that were hurting. But right here we have a verse that reminds us of how important it is that we care about poor people. And just saying it exactly as it is in the Bible, do you know how many times in the Bible we are told to care about poor people and to help poor people? Over and over and over again, from the beginning of the Old Testament until all the way up through the words of Jesus and the words of Paul, we're reminded of the importance of caring about poor people. You know that God wants you to care about poor people. Now, I know where we live. We don't live in Bombay, India. If we lived in Bombay, India, boy, we would see poverty around us. Unbelievable. Many places. You might even say most places around the world compared to what we have. And I think we need to be challenged as a people to understand the difference between our wants and our needs, to understand the difference between how God has blessed us and what we have left over, and how we should see that, how we should see people that are hurting around the world, the eyes that God would have us to have, and the prayer that God would want us to offer. How can we make a difference in the lives of people that are hurting? You've heard the words of Jesus. He said, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Jesus talked about giving our lives. He said, if you want to gain life, give your life. If you want to have eternal life, give your life. Give it away. Don't hold on to it. Somebody said to me at the end of the first service, as we were closing, they said, if God has given you more than you need, extend your table. Don't build a fence. And there's such truth in that. I believe we as Americans and we as Christians in our culture and in our country, we need to pray, God, what do you want us to do with what we have? What do you want us to do with what we have? I know that the Bible is so clear. I know that Jesus said and God calls us to a generosity. He calls us to think about the needs of people that are hurting around us. And that's part of what the church is to be. May God help us, show us how He wants us to help people around the world. Maybe He needs to break our hearts. Maybe He needs to help us to know specifically how. But I have a heavy heart. I have a deeply, maybe you would call it troubled spirit, about knowing how does God want me to live out my Christian faith today with all that I have. How does He want me to use that for His kingdom and His glory? These scriptures challenge me in this area. Would you watch this video with me together, and then we'll close in prayer.